$10 when you tip.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, dog. It's a place called Ocean One. They got a $4.99. They got a $4.99 lunch special for everything on their meat.
Oh, dang.
I end up spending maybe, I would say, I gave her $125. That was the $50 with the tip.
Oh, that's what's up for both of y'all.
Yeah, for the both of us.
Yeah, that's a bet right there. And you was feeling good leaving.
I was shit. She had to drive home. That was good. I was good. I was like, damn, boy, it's almost. I got almost go pick the kids up. I said, man, I gotta go take me a shower first. We go home, take me a shower.
You know what's funny about them double shots? I was at work and I seen it. I'm like, well, X had it early. And then I had looked, I was like, nigga, is it was two cups of Hennessy, like straight Hennessy, or two like shot glasses? I was like,
straight cups of Hennessy. Big ass
shot glasses.
Man, when she bought them things, I looked at her and I was like, I wasn't finna say nothing. Cause I was like, man, I did ask for it, so I ain't gonna pay for it. But she,
right.
She bought them. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Say, no. I asked double shot. Nah, you bringing quadruples? That's on you. Take that up with your liquor manager.
Yeah, that's on you, man. You bought that. I don't know what you mean.
Hey, I thought that was y'all doubles. I thought that was y'all doubles, man. But shit. What y'all boys did for Cinco? So was that was you for Cinco? Or that was for
that was yesterday. Cinco de Mayo, we went out again. We went out. I took her out to dinner because her birthday was actually on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So,
I got you.
I went
that shit is like in Savannah. That shit a dub, boy. If you don't leave work at like noon, like maybe 2, I'll give you 2 o'clock. If you don't leave work by 2 o'clock to pull up one of the Mexican joints, you ain't getting in nowhere. I tried it anyway, so when I got off, I left work a little bit early. And so then I had my little deal. That's why I told you I had a previous engagement, because I forgot I told my friends I'd go see the Doctor Strange movie with them on Thursday. And they had already got my ticket. So I was like, fuck, all right, well, it's Cinco anyway. So I go see the movie with him. And then his my friend's wife was like, let's go to the Mexican restaurant. I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, that shit a dub. But like, we tried, man. We went to like 4 spots. Finally, we was like, all right, fuck it. That shit ain't happening, man. Just go home.
Like that in DC, too.
Yeah, you ain't getting, you got to get out early, bro. That shit ain't
happening.
You know, we can't wait to get drunk, right? Like,
all right.
That's just American shit. Like, shit, hey, it's a drunk day. So then I ended up just, what did I do? Oh, I just ended up getting me a bottle of the Classe. No, not Classe Azul. Hell no, I ain't spent that much. Did I get? Oh, the Casa, the Azul, the Anejo. That's what I keep messing up. Yeah,
you like it?
I'm fucking with that.
You like it?
Oh yeah, man. You ain't never had no Anejo?
Mm-mm.
You don't drink tequila?
I mean, I drink Patron, but
the silver.
Yeah.
You gotta. You like brown?
I had, right? Patron for Cinco. Yeah, I'm really a brown sipper.
Try an Anejo. An Anejo tequila is like, it's like sweeter. It has like hints of like usually vanilla, like maybe like a little bit of cherry flavor to them. I mean, it's still tequila, but it's just a sweeter taste of tequila.
Is it like added flavoring in it, or?
No, it's just the way they, you know, the process of it. Like they age them in these barrels, so it pick up some of that flavor. But yeah, a silver, and like you got the three basic kinds, right? You got your silver, and you got your Anejo, and you got your Reposado.
I was gonna say Reposado. That's the one I know of. I had Reposado.
Yeah, to me, each one is smoother than the next one. Like, so your silver is usually like the roughest joint, your Reposado is a little bit smoother, and then once you get to the Anejo, that's usually the smoothest. Like, if you go look at any line of tequilas, the Anejo is always the most expensive. But I think it's because of the process they have to go through to get it to be like that. It take more time. So, Yeah, they end up being a better drink. So yeah, I was on that, man. I actually didn't even do that much on Cinco because I had been working all of them too.
So. Yeah, I didn't do nothing. I just got me up. I just came to the house to watch the games and cool it.
I ain't watch no games.
Wasn't no game on Thursday.
I was watching some baseball games.
Oh, the baseball.
Oh. I watch sports, man. Oh, you just sports. Yeah, I watch sports.
That boy, he don't watch no TV.
I don't for real. Somebody asked me that yesterday. She was like, why? She was like, so if you don't watch, like, what do you watch besides, like, sports? And I was like, nothing for real. And she was like, so the TV on, what do you have it on? I'm like, sports. I mean,
hey, that's all I watch for real. I don't watch a lot of TV. I just watch, like, a couple of series.
See, all the series I started, I got to finish. Like, Ozark, I got to finish. I watched BMF. That's one show I did watch. I watched that in, like, one night, though.
Yeah, that BMF was dope.
That BMF. Yeah, I watched that in one night. I binge-watched that.
Yeah, I always got one show that I'm watching all the time.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing like that.
Last one I watched was Top Boy.
That was Top Boy good, too. Top Boy.
I started getting into Top Boy a little bit, but then I just never really picked it up. But it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Because what's that on?
It's on Netflix. It's an older show, right? But Drake produced it and brought it back. So they
brought it back. Yeah.
So that's like
the longer series,
right? Like the old little 7 episodes, like a cult classic. A lot of people from overseas, Caribbean, and then it got to America. People knew about it, but then you know Drake was like, "Yo, we need to run this back." So now they made 2 seasons of 8 episodes each on Netflix. So it's a good time. I just got through it. I need to finish Ozark, and I'm trying to watch Attack on Titan now. I'm trying to get back.
Yeah, I'm up on that. I'm up on Attack on Titan. I finished Ozark. And
I ain't even start Ozark. I watched the first. I tried to watch like the first 15 minutes, and then I turned it off, and I ain't never get back to it yet.
Man, you got that Ozark gangster.
Ozark, yeah, nah. Everybody keep telling me. They keep telling me about it, man. So I gotta watch it.
And then I watched Winning Time.
Winning Time.
I heard that's good.
That's a good show.
I haven't seen it.
That's a good show. You probably like that one too because it's sports related.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that before his time too. Like he don't know nothing about the Lakers, man. Showtime Lakers.
Yeah, man. My pops, I used to watch so many. I told y'all like a couple months ago, I was talking about something. My pops used to like record hella games back in the day. And he had like boxes in the garage with like the 90s Mike, the Bird and Magic and them going at it. Like I seen a lot of that. So like, and he a big sports head. So like all the stories he told me, of course I wasn't there, but
yeah, I know a lot about that old show. Yeah. Like I wasn't, Muhammad Ali is the greatest fighter of all time to me. And I wasn't really around for that shit. I was, you know, I born 1980. Yeah. But like once I started understanding who that dude was, and then I just got on my own journey about him. I was like, oh, this is not beyond just being a boxer. I was like, this man was just great. Now, I tell you what, I did watch the little thing where it was like him and Malcolm and how things kind of wound up with that. That was
oh, you talking about the Blood Brothers?
Yeah. That broke my heart a little bit. I ain't going to hold
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Damn, man. I don't think you should have did Malcolm like that. Like, I felt bad, you know, how that situation kind of went. And I think ultimately he did, too, once Malcolm passed.
He did come out and say, like, he didn't want it to go that route. You know what I'm saying? Right. But it was kind of drilled in his head. Like, this is how you got to be towards Malcolm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Once the minister got in his head and his eyes, you know, everything that Malcolm did was just wrong. So, like, oh, Malcolm, you kind of going against
faith,
you know what I'm saying? But
that's when shit get dangerous, man.
Yeah.
When it's just you asking me to follow without thinking, I can't rock with you. I got to, everything I do, got to make sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't just sign up and just walk out. Like, nah, bro, what? That's how people end up in cults. Yeah, drinking Kool-Aid. Yeah. Like, nah.
End up drinking that Jim Jones.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, nah, son. Not the rapper, Meezy.
I ain't gonna lie, that's what I'm thinking about.
Nah, it's a whole
We talking about that. We talking about the real Jimmy.
I don't know what the hell Jim Jones got going on.
Nah, not Scissor. You probably don't remember that one either. Mm-hmm. They had a drink come out, Dipset.
Yeah, they had a drink called Scissor. Yeah, it was purple.
I never drank it. I never had
it. Hell nah. I was like, man, what the hell this is?
Yeah. First off, it's called Scissor. I don't like syrup like that, like to drink it. I barely put any on my pancake, so.
Nah. Yeah, they had their own little Scissor. They had it in the purple bottle. I remember when they brought it down here, I was like, man, what the hell y'all got? Like,
rapper liquors don't tend to stick around, bro. It's a man, few of them.
I heard a story about White Hennessy that kind of blew my mind recently. You know, like how we love White Hennessy so much? And from what somebody told me who was involved, who knew somebody who was involved in, like, liquor sales, they were saying the reason why the White Henny don't make it here is because it's not distilled for a long time. So, like, I guess normal kind of it'd be like 5 years, but like the white Hennessy is made quick, so it's really supposed to be like an inexpensive cheap liquor, but they found the way to hype it, so we buy it. I mean, I got some in the pantry. I'm gonna probably drink
it. It's expensive as hell.
Right, yeah. It's expensive, but it's not supposed to be expensive. They got us That's again. Y'all. Say,
my favorite they got bourbon, us again. Man. My favorite bourbon is Buffalo Trace. My particular liquor store that I go to all the time, I can get the bottle for I think they usually charge me $24. You go damn near anywhere else in the city, they want like $40 for the same bottle. And it's just because it got enough hype and it's hard to get, but it's a cheap bourbon. It's not supposed to be expensive, it's just really good. And so people all run to get the shit. And then the other people, like, it's a liquor store right next to me. They keep it in stock. I'm like, yeah, because y'all shit too high. Like, I'm not paying that much for that shit, bro. I ask them every couple of weeks. Because this is how shady they is about shit. They don't even got the price tags up there. Mm-hmm. Every other thing up there got the price tag. So then I go ask them every once in a while. And he'd be like, 48. I'm like, you still on that shit, man? I'm not paying you $48 for this shit, man. But anyways.
That White Hennessy, man. And I've heard they starting to get them over here to sell in the liquor stores now, from what I'm understanding. But I don't like it.
Why you don't like it?
Because what it is, it's actually good. It's good. It's smoother than regular Hennessy. What happens is you tend to drink it a lot faster than you know you can drink the regular Hennessy. Mm-hmm. And that shit will creep up on you fast.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? And it'll knock your ass out. Like, they tell you, man, drink little cap. They tell you drink. You see the cap of the bottle.
Yeah.
They tell you to pour that in the cup and drink that. They don't say like drink the Hennessy like you drinking a normal Hennessy bottle because you're gonna be fucked up. They say, man, pour the little caps in your cup, and that's it. Don't be trying to. Well, I got me a bottle of White Hennessy, and next you know. Everybody like, damn, boy, where Meezy? Yeah, Meezy, boy. Meezy.
I had it a few times. I like it. I had it a couple times.
I never tried it. I never had the White Henny.
I had it because my dog used to bring it over from where the
you got to get out.
St. Thomas. Right? Yeah, St. Thomas.
Yeah, I like to chase it with coconut water. Just a little bit. Because coconut water don't. You don't lose that taste of that liquor, but you still get the electrolytes and stuff out of the coconut. Like, a little more natural.
You're drinking like a grown ass man, trying not to get tore up and be
right.
And
right, have a
adult drinking. I feel you. I do. Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Like when I'm sipping tequila or something, and I know like okay, like I got something like to do tomorrow. I can't get like you know what I'm saying tore up. I'll get like coconut water and mix it with some tequila, something like that. Because it really ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? Get your electrolytes, like Ma said. Yeah, I drink something with electrolytes in it.
Yeah, you don't compromise the taste of your liquor. Like, you still taste your liquor.
Right.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Oh,
back to 26 Degrees. We are back at it another week. No weeks off. Still doing good. We just took Cinco off. You know what I mean? Go celebrate. You know, American Drinking Day, baby. And it's the off season, so we still gonna provide y'all that content. Because there's always something to talk about when it comes to this football thing. And we got news for you right now, so we're gonna chop it up about a couple of things going on in and around the program at the current time. I am your host, Arian, joined as usual by my guys, Meezy. Meezy, speak to the people.
What's up, world? 26 Degrees. Like Larion said, took the Thursday off. Hope y'all enjoyed y'all Cinco de Mayo. But yeah, man, we here. About to chop it up and give y'all a good show per usual, man. We got Field General, the Street General X. What's good?
What's good? What's good, fellas?
X, how this be for you, man? It's downtime now, right? How much involvement? How much you on campus this time of year?
Well, I haven't been to campus probably in maybe 2 weeks. But definitely not downtown, man. It's spring, like spring high school football.
Oh, yeah. Was there a scrimmage today between Northwestern and I seen Ivan tweeted it out.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was, I guess you could call it a scrimmage, but it was like
jamboree or something.
I mean, it's scrimmage. It wasn't no jamboree. It was just scrimmage. Just going against somebody different.
Yeah, that's what we call the Alabama game. Shout out, yeah. Kale. Kale said that's a jamboree. Why do people, man? Listen, I was walking in that stadium. I'm sorry. I'm lying. I didn't go to the game. I didn't even try to get in the game. I was walking near like the where the game was gonna be played at, and there's a bunch of Bama fans, you know, walking by. I had my cane stuff on. They said, "Man, y'all think we really gonna beat y'all by 18 I said, "No, and if we do, if y'all do, we're gonna have a long season, boy. I ain't lying." I said, "God, I hit the nail on the head because after that, it was a hell of a season, gentlemen."
But, man, listen, when I got inside the stadium and I seen Bama on the field, and then I looked at our sideline, I was like, damn, this should be a blowout, boy, because we don't even look like we belong on the field, them guys.
Was big boys.
I heard in the Bama fans, like, it was bad in the stands, like, the way they was talking, like, looking at my
man, they weren't talking, man. Bama fans were sitting there chilling. Even when they was blowing us out in the first quarter, they weren't saying nothing. It's so crazy because all leading up to that week, man, I thought it was gonna be some real aggressive Bama fans, but I didn't see any. A bunch of them came to the tailgate. They were chilling, like they didn't have no. For them. I felt like they didn't even need to talk because the team did all the talking for them. Like, man, you know what I'm saying?
Business as usual.
I heard, I wasn't going to say like aggressive talking, but I heard there would be like, I mean, this is just what we do, basically. Like, yeah. Y'all really didn't have a chance type stuff. Like, not like, you know what I'm saying, selling out for real, but.
Man, when I finally got to my seat, when I left the field, I finally got to my seat. It was some Bama fans sitting over there by us, man. And the man was mad every time he didn't get a first down. He was, you know, cursing. I'm like, well, God damn it, y'all beating the hell out of us.
There's a standard
the
up there, boy.
That ain't the point, damn it. But what is his usual mall in the building?
What's up, y'all?
Appreciate his presence here. You know, he'd be in and on Mike. Oh, got the young one in the back. But let's start sliding down this docket, man. See what we got going on. Let's see. We'll get right into it with some of the portal stuff. We had Cody Brown, you know, who we knew already went, who already left. He wound up in Virginia, so we'll get to see Cody on the next couple of years. Not too concerned about that. But best of luck to the young dude. And from what I'm hearing, he might be shooting to the top of their depth chart. So I'm like, oh, y'all ain't had nothing then. Like, I know we pretty deep. And Cody, I'm not saying Cody's bad, but he really should be kind of more of that kind of pounder, you know, clean up when we trying to like how I imagine we're probably gonna use Thad this year.
He fits the mold of what they need in the backfield or what they usually have, because you know they in Virginia they have usually of a pro style offensive line normally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you get a big pounded running back, unite and just say, man, we gonna get behind our offensive line and keep going.
Pound the rock.
Some pretty good ones in college too.
Finesse offensive scheme, and then you know a running back who you kind of want to have speed. So
good landing spot. And then we got Daz Worsham ended up going on over to Auburn. Daz was a guy that, from what I was hearing, was looking good in the spring when his opportunities were there. I think he fell into a room of, we got a ton of possession receivers, I think. And I think that's his role. So he just is getting a little crowded for his particular role as a wide receiver. I think he could have played here. But, you know, he decided to head back home and get probably a more immediate situation right now. Like, even in them talking about us looking in the portal, well, the only thing I think we'll take in the portal at wide receiver is going to have to be a guy that can take the top off of defense. We're not going to be looking for another slot type guy or, you know, another possession type guy. We're going to be looking for someone that could bring us a little bit more like what Rambo brought to the offense. So,
yeah,
but I do think he's going to have a good career.
Yeah, Daz, throughout spring, you know, you've been reports, oh, he's looking good. I mean, the thing I would say is I can't say he's looking good, because it was like when he's out there performing, he's doing it against, okay, guys who we know are going to be on the field. You know, the depth chart, oh, in the right. Back end. He just haven't had the chance or the opportunity to perform against guys who we know are going to be on the field.
Right.
So I couldn't really just grade and say, okay, well, he looks good or he looks bad. No, he just hasn't got that chance.
I think those
and
two
to say he hasn't gotten that chance just means he's not in the depth. You know what I'm saying? He's just sitting at the back of the room. So
yeah, I thought it was knee injuries, but I think that hip injury he suffered his senior year in high school, because I don't think he played his last year of high school because of it. I think that kind of slowed down the type of person he could have been, because I really did like him. Like his sophomore, junior in high school, coming out of Alabama. But good luck to the young man.
Yeah, he a name I don't necessarily expect to disappear. And I respect why he left. You know, I think, like you were saying, the injuries, I think, ended up burying him a little bit. So if you know, your availability is your greatest ability, and you start getting buried a little bit on the depth chart, a lot of guys right there with you, you know, you go ahead and make your move if you can't quite crack the rotation at that point. So
he got put in a bad spot because you know, when the three freshmen came in last year, man, it was like, hey man, y'all ain't touched that field yet, but I don't know what's gonna happen.
Be a little tough. Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Them guys, they was getting on the field. So we're like, man,
they carved out a niche pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's see who else we had out. Tariq Austin Cave. He already left, but oh yeah,
just committed to West Virginia today.
Today? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, just committed to West Virginia today.
Good for him. Sound like a spot he might could fit in.
You got Trotman. He's in the portal. Yeah.
He's out there.
Has he had any offers?
I don't know yet, because they still he got the case sitting there.
Right, that's what I was asking.
It's going to be a little murky for him, just because, you know, people don't want to touch those type of situations, but he'll get somebody will give him a second chance.
Especially when you've never seen him play before.
Yeah, I mean, right. to be honest, man, I'm thinking, I mean, I'm wishing I tried to make a phone call and out to HBCU to like, hey, man, go get the kid. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that might be his best situation.
Mm-hmm.
To get somebody who could really talk to him and trust him.
Right, you know, right, man,
right. Going to a major university right now is they try they don't want that image right there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And it sucks because there's charges pressed on both of them. So it sounds like to me some young people stuff where they just ain't quite learned to keep their hands to themselves. You know what I mean? And now
especially both of them getting charged. Yeah.
Right. Now you're in here wilding and hitting on each other. And let that be a cautionary tale. You know, the young people out there, any of y'all listening, if a young person listening, or if you're an uncle or a dad, just like, remember to, you know, convey that message. Your mom, or aunt, whatever the case may be, convey that message, man. Keep your hands to yourself. If it gets to that point, just walk out. Just somebody leave the situation. Give it a chance to diffuse. But all that back and forth in each other's face, pushing and shoving, it's not going to end well. It's not a good situation. I hate to see him leave on that type of terms. He may have been, you know, kind of close to the portal as it was, you know, but that's just not the way you want to go out. So, just, you know, I tell my nephew, my niece, listen, if it ain't romantic, grown folks ain't got no business putting their hands on each other. But once we get to that, it's a whole nother story now. And we probably ain't going to like the ending of it. And then let's see who else we lost. Nelson Foley. He was the other Australian punter. I guess he was thinking, which yeah. I would have figured too. I guess he figured, what's 94 name? I'm drawing a blank.
Lewis Hadley,
yeah. He probably figured his 32-year-old ass would be leaving. But
right, yeah.
Came back another year. So, bro, like, man, shit, I thought I was going to be punting this shit. I'm out of here. We'll see where he ends up at. And then the one that kind of shocked me and some other people was Cam Williams, who I think X explained last show he was just not on the roster.
Yeah, he wasn't on the roster. He was, I mean, to be truthful, he wasn't on the roster. He wasn't even attending school.
Right.
So when they announced it, I was like, huh? Like, okay.
Right, it's weird. Like, why are he attached to us at this point?
Yeah. But I guess you say you want to announce it and say, okay, he's coming from the University of Miami. So it kind of sounds good on your resume to say, hey, well, at least you recruited him.
Say that. But don't say he left you. I don't think he had a scholarly. He wasn't in school. So, I mean, like, he couldn't have had a scholarly.
Yeah, nah, man. So, you know, I'm hoping he gets picked up, though, because the kid, he has the potential, but...
Yeah, he's talented, but he got to...
He might be a head case.
Yeah, because originally he was suspended because of academics. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to get it right, man. You got to do the books, too, now. That's just what it is.
Plain and simple. Got to get in grade, so...
Plain and simple. So that's it. We only got some tractions... speak on this right now. I think
we had what? From what I'm looking at, I think we had 12.
Yeah.
12 that's not even including one. That's not even including Cam Williams. We had 12 transfers. And
we had 11 in, right?
Huh?
Was it 11 in?
Yeah, yeah, 11 came in. Yeah. 11 okay. came in. So out of the 12, we have 7 that actually went to Power 5 schools. Then the other 5 went to one. One is at Alabama A&M. That's Peyton, Jared Peyton. Pope went to Jackson State. Gervin Hall is at Utah State. And then Hodges is at Middle Tennessee State.
Man, best of luck to all them guys, man. Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee, that's the Division I, though, right?
That's D1.
It's D1.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
They played FAU.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was in the Sun Belt. I couldn't remember exactly what conference they was in. That's good shit, man. Good on all them boys, man. And then they made an announcement the other day, or they're supposed to be having a meeting about the scholarship headcount.
It's supposed to go to 95, right?
Yeah. It's supposed to go from 20, from 25 to 32, which will add, 7 extra scholarships. So you just say from 85 to 92.
92, okay.
Yeah.
And that's for this cycle?
Yeah, it'll be this cycle and next, and then and the back to 24, everything should go back to normal to 85.
Okay.
I mean, but I spit that since last year that, the number of scholarships was going to be over the limit because of that COVID year.
Right, yeah, because
you couldn't just next year say, oh, well, we got to get back down to 85. How? When you got 15 kids who should have graduated last year, stay.
This supposed to be just a one-year thing?
Nah, it's going to 2024, everything should get back to normal to 85.
So it'll be just this cycle then? Or is it this cycle and the next one?
This cycle
gotta be just this.
This cycle and the next, and then it gets into play on 24. The 24 class.
If you do 23 though, you could do 95. That's gonna throw it off for the next year though, too, ain't it?
No, because you still got a lot of players that
you still have to leave
college now. You know, the years count now.
Right.
So they gotta leave. They can't stay.
Like Will Mallory, he's still there. He could have left, but he came back. So it's several guys like that on a lot of teams where, yeah, they took advantage of that COVID year and they got one more year. So they will be kind of cleaned out this cycle because they'll be just out of eligibility.
Yeah, they out of eligibility. So they get like that number going to automatically go down once they get out.
Right.
That's why by 24 the numbers will get back.
Okay, so you can't take any more scholarship players like recruiting than 25 still then. Because I was thinking the numbers will get thrown off if like a school who was pretty close to that 85. They would just recruit more players to get to 95, like freshmen.
You can if you want to. You can either recruit the high school kids or get the portal kids.
Yeah, but I say because the portal would be the same thing, so you're still bringing in against
the thing is, okay, so the portal kids are still going to count towards that initial class.
Okay.
So CCUM, we brought in 14 high school kids, and we brought in 11 transfer portals. That adds up to 25.
Got you.
So we could have initially added more high school kids if we wanted to, or we could still add more.
I got you.
Portal kids.
Okay.
I think all of that, yeah, it'll shake itself out in a while. I mean, we kind of knew we was going to end up getting a little bit of a logjam with the COVID year because, yeah, everybody had that extra year. I don't think UM necessarily had like a whole bunch of guys like that per se. I will come to mind. I think Headley too. I think Headley could have been on out of
Yeah, Headley, well. Headley like, should have left last year.
He graduated, right? I think he has. So, I mean, we don't have a ton of them guys. And just because you got that number don't mean you have to go all the way up to that too. So, that's up to coaches to sit down and decide, hey, how do we foresee the future? With us, we may go a little bit higher because we probably going to have a little more attrition with a new staff. Some of these guys are probably going to try to tough it out again and see where they stand, and then they may decide, all right, ultimately I'm just not fitting the system of these new coaches, and their vision of – because what I'm seeing, like our D-line right now, they trying to get really big. Mezador is like the shortest one.
All right.
He's just a disruptive dude. But I know –
you think we get more transfers? I mean, you think we got more exits coming soon?
And to be honest, I actually thought it would have been more, but it, yeah, it's eventually probably going to be a few more.
That's why I asked. That
may take a year more. Off or try to get a waiver.
Well, okay. So what I was hearing was a lot. You know, some of the guys were just trying to finish school first before they put their name in the portal.
Right. Yes. You know. So I mean, that makes sense too.
Can they sign without a school, waiver? Now? Oh yeah. You finish school. You now you could grad transfer. You don't need the waiver.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like that May 1st deadline it's not for them. It's for the guys who still in school.
And when I said that, Measy, I'm thinking, you know, some people going to give it that you know, oddly called the old college try, and I think they're just going to find out they just not going to cut it for Mario.
Right.
And I mean, I can't knock that. Like, you give it, you coming back, you're going to try it again. And then probably, so I was saying, we may have a bit of a bigger class to come in. And then I think some of the writing might be on the wall for these guys at the beginning of the next season. Like, right. All right, wait a minute. I don't think I'm going to ever see the field. You know, let me go and get up out of here. I tried to push. But I mean, you look at look at our linebacker room in general. It don't look nothing like what he trying to build. You know, you want to be building. If we're trying to do something like Bama, them boys is huge. Boys is 6'3", 6'4". We don't got none of that. And the one guy we do is like Huff, and he don't get on, you know, for whatever reason.
And they 6'3", is like 240.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. 6'3",
215, 220.
Right. Big, solid guys, and that's Mario's vision. Listen, we're trying to be the best of the best. You can't be the best of the best with a bunch of undersized guys. I mean, yeah, there's guys that are going to cut it and make it to the league. You know, your Levante Davids, and, you know, Quan Alexander. There's guys like that. Don't get me wrong. But that ain't going to be your bread and butter.
Like your linebacking core could have one of those. Can't be all three.
Right. It can't be all of them. Right, right. So I think that's what you're going to start to see a little more shake up. So I wouldn't be surprised to see us go a little heavy and, you know, some guys kind of just understand, all right, I might be getting squeezed out. Not the prototype. I'm not exactly what they envision. And then, you know, may see some stuff also. It'd be interesting to see. You know, attrition comes kind of in two waves. Anytime a new coach comes in, you got your initial flight where everybody like, oh, I already know what it is. I'm lucky to be wearing this orange and green. Some people,
I mean, when the stat, when Mario got back here, man, Mario had it, you know, basically was telling everybody, he want kids that want to represent that logo, not just be happy to have the logo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when you see, some kids leaving, them might be the kids who just happy to have the logo, happy to have the logo on their back instead of saying, no, I'm going to represent this logo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And, make the logo don't make you. You make the logo. You know, right. And I think we had a long history of that for a while where you just had too many guys that just thought that you on the inside of their helmet made them a superhero. I understand in the work that those guys that you idolize ahead of you put in. They didn't just go, okay, I'm in Miami, so I must be the shit. Like, nah, I'm at Miami, so I know this is competitive breeding grounds. I got to get in here and I got to get to it. See, some of that stuff, like people get, you know, a mentality of, oh, that's old school. Well, certain old school stuff don't change. I don't care what year we in. Competition breeds excellence. And the only way you're going to get that is a room full of killers, dogs, ready to get in there. And when they're on that practice field, they're trying to tear each other head off. And when they're on the sideline, they all on the same team. But in the meanwhile,
That's another reason why over the past previous years with some of the previous styles, they didn't like the former players to come because the former players would be critical about, hey, man, you ain't doing shit. You need to get your ass up off the field. You know what I'm they'll tell that to the player before they didn't go tell the coach.
Right.
But they'll tell it to the player. So now you got a bunch of confusion players. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do what the coach want me to do, but, you know, the former players like, nah, man, you ain't doing it right. You know what I'm saying? Which was smart because even when you talk to former players and they tell you why they performed the way they did, they'll be like, man, because, such and such on the sideline. I don't want to go back to the sideline and look bad. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, damn, man, you know, ain't no players on the sideline. You don't even care. You know what I'm saying? The coach, you fuck up and the coach keep you on the field, you don't care.
It's funny because I'm in a fraternity and it's a lot of that same mentality fraternity football teams to where like you amongst your peers, it's whatever. Some people, if their goal is to wear the shirt or wear the helmet, if that's where their goal was, they have no expectation. That's it. But you want we need them players whose goal is to go to the league. And while I'm at UM, I'm going to do this. Those are the players we need back again. And it comes back to when them older heads come back around. That's where you really supposed to get the knowledge and that next step. To me, a coach can only do so much, right? A coach can coach you, but sometimes you need that peer or that somebody from outside the circle to be like, hey, man, this is what y'all need to do. This is what coach supposed to tell you to do, but this is what y'all got to do to get over that hump. And you could tell teams like Bama, they got those players who recently left could come back and tell these new players what they got to do to get over the hump.
Everybody following the University of Miami formula. I'm not going to say UM started it, but I would say we made it famous. You know what I'm saying? For former players to be on the sideline, like literally talking and hanging with the players and telling them, hey, man, go out there and do this. Right. Or break on this pass because they're going to throw it this way, and all you got to do is break on it, and you'll get the interception. They should know to get the interception. And, then, you know, stuff like that. So, like you say, man, it's University of Miami is a fraternity. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally.
You know what I'm saying? I think when, you know, we see the conflict with coaches and the former players is, you know, it's basically got to be a culture where everybody on the same page, because everybody knows the players there is a good look, but we got to make sure them and the coaches are on the same page, because like X saying, you can't have a coach telling you one thing and a player going, oh man, he don't know what he's saying. Do this. Like, now it's confused. Like I said, now it's like, wait, what do I do?
Like, you as a player, you like, man, look, I don't know what
he said.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so stories about the previous staff, that was it. You know what I'm saying? It was literally, I could say almost every former player literally said, man, that coach don't really know what the hell he's doing. But they got to stay out of it because they can't tell the player, man, don't listen to your coach. You know what I'm saying? End of the day, now that player might get kicked off the team or sent to the bench.
And coaches got egos, so it's hard for them to listen to players. That makes stuff tough right there, too.
Yeah, so. Want to be the smartest.
It's a fine balance. I think you got to be the right personality, a strong personality, and instill what you do. And, you know, talk to the former players. Hey, listen, you can be the – that's what I need you to be doing. Don't do this.
That's why Cristobal is the perfect coach, right? Because guess what? That Ed Reed type or just that old player ain't going to cross Cristobal like that. Right. And I bet you Cristobal going to tell player, hey, go holler at him real quick, right? He going to know which mentors them players are going to need.
Yeah, the respect level. I mean, you know, the former players respect Cristobal. For one,
you can tell how many all the alumni on the sideline.
I tell people the difference between Cristobal and Diaz. They're like, well, Diaz lived in Miami. I say, but the difference is Mario Cristobal was a part of it. Diaz only saw it.
That's a big difference. You're right. You
know what I'm saying? He's a fan who got to be a coach.
Mario Cristobal lived it. He played in it. So he knows the respect for it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I guess the other thing that's been a buzz a little bit lately that definitely has something to do with our program is this whole NIL stuff, right? So the superstar of the NIL is John Ruiz. And in typical Miami fashion, he catching all the heat and the hate. Y'all probably heard me talk about it somewhat on the roll up. And, I told him, like, it's kind of hard for me to tell this man how to conduct himself. Like, perhaps you look at it this way and say, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. Okay, cool. But it ain't your money.
It doesn't mean it's wrong either because you don't agree with it.
Right. And it's convenient. You know, my counterparts, obviously, are fans of the other school. So, of course, we doing it wrong. And then the more I stepped away from it, I was like, yeah, maybe that's not how I would do it. I can't even say 100% I would. I really can't. As I thought about it more, I was like, shit, to be honest with you, I probably would be more like, because knowing me, I started really thinking about it like, I'm probably going to flex on him a little bit. Plus, with him getting that visibility, it also helps his business and in turn helps our players, because he's like the superstar of this thing right now. He is, you know, I heard him, Colin Cowherd talking about him, and he wasn't even putting a negative light on him. It like sound like he's doing it the right way.
He getting free promo.
Yeah, he's getting promo. You get that promo.
All right. So when last year during the COVID year, not last year. When the NIL got approved. University of Miami already had set in stone the proper way to do it. I read the guidelines before it, and then I was immediately like, well, dang, this is going to be a big opportunity for the city of Miami, because now if you have a business, your business could be marketed through the University of Miami. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's talking like it's illegal. No, the guidelines specifically states marketing for name, image, likeness.
Right. Because
I have a business that's legitimate. I am paying a guy to market my business.
Right. And how can you not market your business if you don't get out in front of it, right? This is what I like about Reed. He's got out in front of it. He said, hey, here's what I'm doing. If you want to check the paperwork, there it is. But guess what? For him to make money, because you'll hear other fan bases say, well, why he don't just drop the money quietly? Because you're not supposed to drop the money quietly, right? Because that's cheating, right? That's what they don't want you to do. What he's doing is he's upfront telling you, here's how we're going to do it. Here's how I get the athletes. They're doing commercials. They're doing these things. They're earning the money. And in return, my business is making a return on its investment. The biggest thing I hear from other fan bases, he's dropping all this money. What return on investment is he going to make? Well, I think John Ruiz is showing his return on investment with Life Wallet, and he's out in front of it. And when people are like, ooh, Miami and BYU, they already contacted y'all. Why do you think they contacted Miami and BYU? Know why? Because they're probably doing something right.
Because what are you guys doing that's legal for everybody else to jump on board?
Right. But people don't want to say that. People want to hate. People want to say, oh.
When they made this new NIL bylaw, it's not for Miami. It's for the schools who got the programs, who got boosters saying, let's raise money for recruits. Let's raise money for Porter players. Ruiz has a legitimate business where he's saying, you are representing my business. I'm going to sign you right to my company. You're going to speak about my company, Life Wallet. Everybody's speaking about Life Wallet. Hey, oh, and you like you win? Okay, let's go.
I don't see the problem at all. It's kind of funny. Like,
when you read the guidelines, everything Ruiz is doing, he's doing by law. Everything is legit.
He's just open with it and got a lot of money. That's the problem. And it's for Miami.
Ain't that the Miami way, though? That's what I'm saying. Like, if we never did it like everybody else, everything is the Miami rules. Like, y'all seen first 30 for 30? All the rules that the NCAA got now is because Miami did this shit first. That's the culture. Like, I don't ever want Miami to be like Gainesville, to be like Tallahassee. Y'all have y'all culture. Y'all do what y'all do. That's country shit y'all doing over there. That's cool. I got no issue with that. This is Miami. I'm not from Miami. I like Miami because they carried themselves different, and I fucked with it. Like, I was like, I like this. This is what I'm like. This is the guys I grew up around. The guys I played football with, when they tackled you, they danced. They wolfed. That's what we did. So I was like, yeah, I like this team. So the problem is, it's the Miami way. And, you know, some people brought up, like, okay, these companies, like the Life Wallet thing, isn't profitable at this point. That's fine. He had his own personal funds that he's investing in order to see the return on Life Wallet. And actually, I'll address something real quick that came up on the timeline, because my man Dan was speaking on it. All right, Dan Thompson, for y'all don't know this, I think it's DK Thompson on Twitter. And he was kind of breaking down in some terms that's why it was funny. That's how I got tied into it. I was like, yo, Dan trying to troll us, but don't nobody know what he's saying. So I was like, the average person isn't understanding these financial words and details that you're going over. I don't get it. Like I said, I'm a fairly intelligent guy, but I'm not involved in that world. So the stuff you're saying, I'm sure it's probably pretty good, but it's going over our heads. And that's not a shot at Miami fan base. I think that any fan base, it's just you don't know this particular terminologies and whatnot. So I said that. Then Dan went out and said something to the effect, I just deleted now, them boys got it somewhere. He said, basically, that somebody sent me the shit too, and I don't have it offhand no more. That, you know, he was just breaking down how the Life Wallet thing isn't, you know, at this point a profitable company. It only has a couple of employees, yada yada yada, and you know, therefore it was kind of more of a wait and see type deal than people are just acting like everything is because Life Wallet is so successful. Life Wallet has not been successful as of yet. That's just the company he's using and using the players to try to pump up Life Wallet. So it's kind of works hand in hand and washes the other hand. So when he heard that basically I trolled him, he said that I was one of the good ones. He thought I was one of the good ones. And yeah, you know, black folk hit me up like, what? Larry, he called you a good one. I was like, come on, cuz. I ain't letting nobody call me no good one, bro. But I know Dan on a personal level. All right, so I don't want y'all to think I'm up here timing or tap dancing. I know Dan on a personal level. He meant a good cane, not a good boy. I don't play that shit with nobody, cuz that ain't that dog ain't gonna hunt. So I got on the horn with him. That's why he deleted the tweet, because he just didn't understand. As soon as he did it, I saw it and I told him immediately. Because we was in a group chat and I said, hey, bro, that's not a good look. You telling the black man he thought he was a good one. And he was like, oh shit. Whoops. That's why I got deleted so fast. So be clear. That was Larry, don't play rescue, no oppressor. Ain't no game I'm playing. That's my man's. We good. We talk. We got it all squared away. You know, people fuck up sometimes. We all do. So don't get me fucked up out here thinking I'm tap dancing. That ain't what I do. Dan made a mistake. That's why he deleted the tweet. We straight. We good. So I did want to touch that real quick. But you know, next time, you know, y'all let him have it. I said he already caught some shots off of that one. I was like, man. I was like, hey, you don't want to do that, dog. Bad for his business.
Yeah, it really is. But the thing is, like, they kind of talking out of both ends. Because now, at the same time, they criticize John Ruiz. But now they're trying to hype up this new guy. And that's cool. Here's my thing. I hope the new guy does this thing well. I hope UF is very successful. I hope that Miami is very successful. But why y'all so worried about Miami, though? Like, y'all got Texas A&M eating. They getting eight wins. I don't. And they won in the state. It don't matter to me because guess what? If we do our thing, it don't matter. Like, I don't need to be a D student surrounded by F students and feel good about my D. No, my goal is to set the Miami standard. Our goal is to be back, right? Until we back, we not back. But that's my goal. My goal ain't to be better than UF. And for UF, it's like,
amen.
Yo, y'all got Texas A&M. Y'all got Tennessee doing these things. Y'all got Bama. Y'all got Georgia. It's like, why y'all so worried about what Miami doing? Like, Florida State should be louder than y'all, but they the ones the loudest. And it's like, what y'all criticizing us for, y'all are trying to do the same thing.
They just see Miami as a threat, pretty much. That they haven't seen Miami being a threat like this in a minute.
Well,
it's just a lot of fear, basically.
Yeah, because they, you know, we're supposed to be broke and that's it. But they got to just understand it's a new day. Like, we're not broke anymore. We're making moves. We're going to be fine. You know, in the next 8 to 10 years, we'll probably be in the SEC as well. Like, all those things is probably true. It's like the things they holding on to don't really exist anymore in this new age of college football. And it's just, you just got to embrace what you have and just go from there. And then even today, like that whole Lingard video, I'm just like, what y'all showing us? Y'all showing us a practice play of some safety who didn't know what to do in the middle, and y'all bragging about it. Like, I've never seen anybody brag a practice clip.
Hey, hold on.
I lied.
Hold on. So the guy who's supposed to be their big time money guy, is that the guy who said that he finna have a meeting, a come to Jesus meeting?
Yes.
Was that him?
I believe that's the same guy, right? The guy
who said he finna sit down with people and had to come to Jesus.
I didn't see that.
He was supposed to do the roll up, but he ended up having he was on a yacht.
It was a tweet. It was a tweet that somebody said he finna sit down and have
I think that the guy that was supposed to be, because he was supposed to do the roll up with us this last week, but he said he was on some yacht and the reception was bad and he thought, you know, he's going to be back in better or something like that. So he didn't end up doing. I know his name's something Hatchcock. I think it's Hugh Hatchcock.
Hugh something like that. I know Mal, he knows what I'm talking about. Marlo, he talking about what he said. He tweeted something and said he finna sit down with a bunch of UF boosters and have one of them come to Jesus moments. And I was like, what the? Like, man.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, oh, okay. I I wanted to troll it so bad, but I just all I did was just posted a black picture of Black Jesus. I was like, man, that's all I can say.
It's like, even if you read the article, what the guy is saying is that I guess pretty much the UF boosters, the alumni, whomever, probably a little tight with their money. And he's like, yo, we got to break the bread. If we want to compete, you're going to have to break bread on this level and formulate it somehow. But like I said, again, they're worried about what we doing instead of sorting out their own house. And it's like, they worried about the dishes we got in the sink, but they got a sink full of dishes, but they worried about ours.
Well, their rebuttal is we rivals, of course. And I said, you know, as Kevin put it perfectly today, I guess that's the second shout out to Kev, 561 Kev. Kev, like, man, I used to care, but like now I'm on my own thing. Like, and that's exactly how I feel, bro. Like, I don't care about what y'all got going on over there. I'm so focused. I think, you know, he kind of put it perfectly. Like, if this ain't it, then it'll never be it. And that's fine. And I can find peace in that because we went and got the coach. We're finally spending the money. We're improving facilities. And we have one of the best coaching staffs in the country. It's like, bro, if this ain't going to be it, I don't know what will be
it. It ain't meant to be there.
Right.
It ain't meant to be. And then I can live with that and say, I don't like college football no more. Like, right. If this can't solve it, then I just say, hey, man, I'm done. You know, I can't. There's nothing else I could do with it. We did everything you could. But the thing with us is we were not being competitive in a market where you just got to spend money, and we will continue not to be competitive in that way. And now I feel like we are, and now I'm like, okay, now we can worry about us that much more. Like, you know, ever since I even came on the roll up, I'm like, we all neighbors. What y'all thought I was talking about? You ain't, y'all, what y'all think? Oh, we in the SEC. You're losing in the SEC, son. Don't matter if you're in there. Oh, you know, we got to play. I don't mind when hear that shit, man. Y'all 5-7, man. This shit is not cool. Like, your standard cannot be, oh, we beat y'all 4th and 14. Bro, if y'all don't sit down with that dumb shit, everybody's laughing at us. Do you not understand? The big three. It's a joke, right?
Yeah, everybody laughing at the whole state of the
yeah, it's like,
I'm going to tell you the funniest thing about them, being mad about the NIL stuff. I'm like, okay, if Florida is doing what Ruiz or UM doing, I'm happy. Because I'm like, you see, they paying the players. Now, if we could figure out a way to do it the same way legally, let's go. Because I'm for the players getting money. Right. I'm not going to be mad that they getting money at another school. You're going to get your money at the school? That's right, the goal. Why are you mad that they doing it over here? That become, you know, I guess they still don't, you know, nobody wants to see you on good outside of Miami people.
Right. And see, they don't know what their guy going to do because he just popped on the scene. That's the difference. Like, they don't know exactly how everything's going to operate because they had the Gator Collective already. And then Florida State got the Rising Spears. But the difference is those is like, and I'm not even trying to be funny. Those is really kind of like fundraisers.
They pass
like, the fundraisers. They yeah. The NIL rules are for them right there. You can't use that money for any player.
Right.
Because that's saying you're recruiting them for right. The money. You don't get that's not a business. That's a fundraiser.
Damn, that's true.
Exactly. We're doing it.
And that's why I kept laughing when they talk about they laughing at these rules. I'm like, but y'all ain't even reading exactly what the fuck the rules saying.
Right.
You guys is right that there saying you cannot use this money to get a player. And that's what y'all doing. Florida State, y'all just tried to do that with the guy from Georgia.
With Mims, right.
Yeah, UF, y'all trying to do it.
Oh, and congratulations to UF on landing some kid. Who? What's his name? I really don't know who the dude is.
Oh, you talking about the Harris dude?
The Kanaja Harris that we wasn't recruiting?
I said, bro, and I said, well, ain't no sense of telling them, but they going to swear we lying. Oh,
he touched the hat.
I said, yeah, respect it. I mean, shout out to him getting a free education and everything. But those hats I was on the table, I was like, there's only one school he could have gone to out of them five hats on the table. You saw them hats on there?
Man,
it was like Bama, Georgia. It was like Bama, Georgia, A&M. I was like, man, stop. Those are the hats.
Yeah, like, get out of here. And you chose Florida? Bruh, please. You would have went to Bama. Get out of here. Cut the crap.
Right.
You an IMG kid. Somebody breaking the curse. Curse. Bro, he's a three-star. I was like, we could get a three-star from anywhere. Like, what? Right. Now we're going to hype a three-star because he went to IMG? That's what we're doing now?
Is he originally from Miami?
He's from, I think, Fort Pierce. Or
Kanaja Harris.
Oh, I never heard of him or seen him at Miami. So
he's middle of the state.
I wasn't even trying to be funny. I was like, I don't know who y'all talking about. Our old line board, he definitely ain't no way near the top.
Right.
There's no way. We fishing way bigger than that, bro. And we did some hunts with some big fish. I don't know who cuz is. Nice try. But this ain't a kid I even knew about.
Right. Like, we all get our little three-star developmental kids. But if you get a five-star lineman, hype him up. But come on.
Right. Man. Yeah, don't tell me about y'all. I looked him up. I said, he's three-star. Like, what are we talking about?
And I won't say the kid is, you know, I mean, he could get there and get better. He's not a bad offensive lineman.
Project.
I ain't sitting on him.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on these fans trying to troll us because y'all said Mario's locking it down. I was like, bro, he's not. Come on, man. Now, cut the shit, man. Now, you know damn well. He trying to help him get that spot.
That was silly.
He trying to lock that Gator spot because ain't none of the rest of us ringing his phone like that. And we know that Mario and his staff on the line if they
want. They're ringing that phone.
They talk to Jaden Wayne every single day. Every day. I guarantee you this kid's phone wasn't ringing like that. They probably threw him an offer because they was casting the net, which we have been casting a very wide net. And then they started looking at their board. And, he's down towards the bottom of what they'll be looking for.
He took his committable offer, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that
and
was.
And guess what? And if one of them other boys come back and double back, if A&M swing back and say, you know what, he played good this year, we like to bring him on in. That's it, y'all talking. That's a dub. If Bama come back and say we want him, that's a dub.
They buying drinks at 12:30, but the club closed at 2. So you got
exactly. Yeah, I was like, yeah, no shots at the kid. Oh, I'm not taking no shots at kids. I never do that.
Yeah, I about to say
it was just the way they was trying to get me. So I really had to look them up. I was like, maybe I'm slipping. I don't know this guy. But anyways, yeah, like, and that's getting back to the NIL talk just a little bit more before we get up out of here. That was something Mr. Ruiz had mentioned, and he said that was going to be a problem with the collectives. He's running a legitimate business. These guys get paid every 2 weeks. People talk about, they got to worry about taxes. No, they ain't got to worry about taxes with him. It's coming out of their check. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be aligned as employees. And then, therefore, they will have their regular form that they'll fill out. You get your taxes come out. You know, ain't no state taxes, luckily, in Florida. You're going to pay your Fed taxes. And, you know, everything's everything. This is a lawyer. Guys.
Yeah. He went about it the right way.
That's all.
You know, the one thing I say a lot of non-fans don't like. They don't like because he's loud and flamboyant about it. Mm-hmm. But guess what? That's how you won't became great because we was loud and flamboyant.
Like, they don't like it because it's not their team. But I promise you, if UF Booster was like that, Silk would hype them up. If FSU Booster was like that, CJ would hype them up the most too.
Oh, man. Listen, that's how I feel about Richard Sherman. Oh, I couldn't stand Richard Sherman, man. I'm a 49ers fan. That big mouth ass. As soon as he was on my team, it's different now, baby. It's different now. Talk that talk, Richard, because Rich, that's what he does. You got, if he ain't with you, you're going to hate him. If he with you, you're going to wish you had, you know, 10 more like him on either side of the ball, you know. So that kind of sums up most of that situation. A lot of hate, a lot of flavors out there to pick. Y'all chose salty. just focus on yourself, man. Get in your lane. I really, really and truly do not be worrying about the other two schools, man. I think we heading in the right direction. We doing the right things. And y'all can talk all this ACC and yada, yada, whatever. Clemson built that shit in the ACC. And then nobody wanted no smoke. The boys had a machine running, and it ain't over yet. Don't get me wrong, they may be down a little bit, but it ain't over yet. And I don't necessarily see an end in sight. We'll see how things turn out. Hopefully we can turn the heat up on them. I'm just focused on our boat right now, man. Mm-hmm. Still yours. What else we got? About it. Let's see. It did. Yeah, well, basically, yeah, that kind of goes back into what we was talking about, the NCAA and mounted up and start having conversations. Georgia and them boys upset. Yeah. The main one's been cheating, been spending money, and all of us that know anything about any type of inside recruiting information, that is not new. I've been in direct contact with someone that Georgia was recruiting. They've been spending money, dog. This is not new. Alabama been spending money. Now that it's above board and we got a chance to close the gap, and you know, see, this is one fundamental difference I have between like my co-host. He think, oh, just because we're spending this money now, we supposed to be in the fights with Bama, A&M, Georgia right now.
Nah, you know,
it's not time yet. That's short-sighted. You still got to win some football. They already proven they can win and churn out NFL players.
We've been doing it for
all
a while.
We doing is improving, so we still playing catch up. This ain't the time to.
You got to win 10 games, and if a few more dollars will buy you a kid who won't go to Bama or Georgia, you probably don't want that kid in the first place.
Right.
You know exactly what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get him, and then what? So I totally agree with you, you know, on that. And just look at the landscape of college football now. That's why I put in the docket about they having those meetings in Scottsdale. It's pretty much these other conferences. And the big thing going on is the networks are – Fox is about to buy big on the Big Ten. So, yeah, you know, that's – without getting too nerdy with it, it just – you know, that's going to kind of change the money moving forward, the conference payouts and things like that. So in terms of where that – and my question is – I bring that to y'all. Where does Miami fit in this, right? Because if I'm from Miami, if I'm like Clemson, my thing is, all right, I'm building this great program, and one of these two – when the ACC deal is up, one of these conferences is going to want us, right? Because if I'm the Big Ten, I want Miami one day, right? Maybe not next year, maybe 8 to 10 years down the road, because I can come to South Florida. I can have a foot in Florida. If I'm the SEC, I'm going to be like, wait a second. We might need to make sure Florida State, Miami, Clemson join us one day, because I don't want the Big Ten having the state of Florida or Georgia or South Carolina as their territory as well. So that's why I just put that in there, because I think it's interesting to just see where the future is going of college football.
And we just honestly, the ACC just got a bad TV deal.
Yeah, that TV deal
was orchestrated. Yeah, it was just a bad deal. So that's a bit of a, you know, handicap. But I don't know. We may see teams be like, all right, how much it costs to get out of this? You know, they go to different conferences and things of that nature.
I mean, but that's when, you see, like, ESPN and Fox, they all trying to do them deals with conferences now, instead of saying, well, you know, we're going to allow the NCAA to dictate what we want to do, which is why I keep telling people, in a few years, the NCAA is pretty much going to be dead. You know, it's going to be conference. It's going to basically be the conference making its own league without the NCAA. The only bad thing about that would be is now the schools who can't play alone aren't going to be able to get the players.
But what's going to happen to those schools, though, like even making money?
Which schools? Because like, here's the
schools like X talking about.
Like when you say those schools, you mean like Vanderbilt or do you mean like FAU?
Well, I know most schools are already working in the what? In the red.
I mean, so like a school like Vanderbilt, they might agree to get out the conference because they best benefit. I mean, their best situation isn't about football. You know what I'm saying? So what'll happen is it'll just be a power conference. Well, it'll be probably like a West versus the East.
You'll probably have a West, a East, a South, and a North, or
something
Midwest.
Like that. It'll be something like that. Well, it's not a Big Ten, SEC, ACC. It'll be, man, one Pacific power, you know what I'm saying, every universe. All the big major schools going to be in the conference. And the boys who can't play financially wise, and on the field, just they just gonna get left out. I mean, it's bad, but then you know they'll have their own lead.
And
yeah,
so just, almost be
they
like
already been two, suffering.
So they're gonna, you think they'll change? That would be like Division Two, basically.
Essentially, what's gonna happen. You're gonna have these certain teams just move up because at the end of the day, how else are you gonna compete with Bama if you have these NCAA handcuffs, right?
Right. Like, what are you even playing for?
The schools that want to compete need to compete. And the schools who don't. You know, hey, some schools might be happy with having a football team, having home games, and every kid can't go to this conference. You're going to have some people who need to, but people still want to play ball. You can still get drafted out of these leagues. Mm-hmm. So it's something, again, it's going to be 6 to 8 years down the road.
Yeah, it ain't happening right away. You know what I'm saying?
Right away.
I think we'll all see it, though.
Yeah, no, we'll see it in our lifetime.
No, because if you want to look at the contracts, ESPN and Fox, I think SEC ends 2035. I think ACC ends 2036. So we're stuck in that bad deal for another 14 years. But at the same time, I feel that a move is going to get made. I think the first big move that will happen one day is the Big Ten is going to try to get USC, and then that's what's going to trigger everything because USC is trying to get out of the Pac-12.
What happened to that Big Ten with Miami and all that stuff?
The alliance?
Like, yeah.
That was just verbal. There was no.
It's not agreeable to join the conference. It's basically saying we agree to play each other. We'll be playing.
Right. It wasn't nothing on paper. It was just a gentleman's agreement. Y'all can say it that time, bro. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
It was just a way to take. They were taken aback with Texas and Oklahoma going to join the SEC in 2025. So
they're just trying to get ahead of it some and say, listen. Since they're doing that, we got to schedule each other so that we'll have a fighting chance to get into the playoffs. Like, somebody going to lose, but we all going to lose because it's going to end up being down four SEC teams in this thing.
Right. So we might need to schedule USC to play Clemson early in the season.
Right.
We might need to schedule Miami, Oregon.
Play Oregon, right. Things of that nature. But it was totally just a gentleman's handshake agreement just to say, hey, we got to do something to get back what they're doing over there because they're loading up too much, which is why, like what X was saying, I think we are going to just see this big super conference because, you know, that's another misconception out there. Oh, y'all don't want no SEC. Dude, you benefit from being in the SEC. You get more money. You're going to be able to tell kids. Even in Missouri, they get to tell them you get to play SEC football. So no matter what, that's a recruiting tool in and of itself. You hear that sometimes when kids talk about, you know, why they chose to go to the Gators. You know, I want to play SEC because it's regarded as the best conference in college football. So why would I not want Miami to go there?
Texas joined the SEC. That goes against everything Texas to join the SEC. But guess what? Texas A&M got the little SEC card.
And they jumped ahead of Texas.
Right.
Because we didn't talk about A&M before. It was Texas. Mm-hmm. In my lifetime, A&M was never like a powerhouse.
Nah, they were like South Carolina.
Like a South Carolina and SEC, right. They may have a good year here and there, but they were not the power. Texas was the power.
Is Texas A&M even a powerhouse now just because they're recruiting well? Because, I mean, they haven't won like a
– You're right.
I mean, that'll make you a powerhouse. You recruit well.
Just recruit.
Eventually,
And they got a championship coach, so –
I mean, but they got to win. At the end of the day, they got to win.
I'm not even talking about a title, but they got to win consistently instead of eight games, like –
They got to win. Hey, all that powerhouse stuff, they got to win. Yeah, they just had the number one class ever of all time, but they got to win.
They're not a powerhouse yet. They're building towards it. But you're right. You're going to have to secure the W's in order to be that powerhouse.
I mean, it's the same way they say, oh, this is the best coaching staff University of Miami ever put together. They got to win.
They got to win. Absolutely. I agree.
On paper,
it looks good. Hell yeah!
But they gotta win. If they don't win, guess what? It's the same shit we do.
Let 2 years go by and Jimbo don't have 10 wins.
Right, but I do agree. Our coaching staff should buy us two more wins.
Off the strength, right? I mean, I think they have to.
I think that team, because coming into the season, I had us probably before. You know, the addition of all the coaches and everything. I probably had us at about 8-4. I think those coaches should push us to 9-10 if they really the real deal. if they are the real deal, I think the schedule sets up, I'm sorry, easy enough.
It sets up good, man.
That, I mean, in all honesty, there really should be no excuse outside of Clemson because it's on the road and A&M on the road.
But we should be able to get one of them.
You should be able to compete, though.
You should be able to compete, especially compete. By Clemson.
I say the A&M game because you're going to have your three little practice games to get ready.
Okay, so early.
The Clemson game is probably the most one I'm worried about because Clemson's, although they quarterbacks into it, but they still have that culture where.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's your hard
to win. The A&M game is the one I feel a lot more confident about because I'm like, okay, well, they don't really know what they got this year. We kind of know what we have coming back on offense with TVD.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the one thing that makes me more confident with the A&M. I don't think their defense is like that to be like, oh, boy, they finna. You know what I'm saying? Now, Clemson did lose their defensive coordinator.
And offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and offensive coordinator. But they still have that culture where their defense is probably going to be good still.
Did they hire within on those spots?
Within for both.
And, yeah.
What I like about playing Clemson later in the season is either they're going to be legit, and we expect that. Like week three, if you played Clemson week three, they legit, right? But what if in late November they got 2-3 losses? You know, like what if?
I still think that's going to be for two reasons. It's going to be up in the air, like X is saying, because one, it's hard to play in Death Valley at nighttime. Period.
Right.
And two, I think Dabo knows what's on the line if he lets Miami with Mario first year come up and beat him. I think Wrightman would be on the wall.
Well, I don't think it matters what's on the line because as of now, it's like you kind of see Clemson like taking the you know,
so right. And that's what I'm saying. If that happens, if we did go up there and beat him, Wrightman's on the wall about what's you know what I'm saying. Miami's going to overtake Clemson more than likely.
Right. Well, it would be a
game. He'll do. You're right. He'll do anything he could. He's going to do not to let that happen.
But here's why I like that game being late in the season. Because guess what? Let's say we lose that game. Might play you again in 3 weeks in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And this time we neutral site. And we played you when right. You was desperate. That desperation you talking about, we playing you again.
Even playing them in Charlotte ain't neutral. That's still home for them.
It ain't that bad. You're right.
You're right.
We're pulling up to Charlotte, though.
We'll pull up if we go.
We're going to pull up, but listen. When we played them that last time in the AC Champs, I like, man, that's their home. Like, that's home field for them. Like, they got probably 70,000 in there. We got probably.
And I also knew we was going to lose that game.
Yeah.
Well, I knew.
We not beating them, but I knew. Listen,
yeah, I knew. I ain't watched the first five minutes in the house, because of that.
This family business right now. I knew that year we weren't that good of a team. We did some things, and one thing I always say, I don't apologize for no W's now. I don't give none of them back because I can't get no L's back. So yeah, if I got it, I got it. If they want to put number two next to our name, they ain't got shit to do with me, bro. I'm not gonna give it back. But I knew. Watching our games, I'm like, yeah, we just not that well or the machine.
I mean, I was telling my dog,
our offense was bad. We lost too many offensive key components that year. Defense just got they got tired. They just got worn out.
Yeah,
they was on the field the whole game.
They did, right?
They got worn out. So yeah,
man, I was telling my dog like a week before that game. I was like, man, if we lose by less than 17, I'll be happy. Like I knew it was about to be a drag, and I just felt it. You know what I'm saying? I knew it was about to be a drag.
Man, listen, I knew
about to be seeing ghosts out there, man.
I knew we were gonna lose, man, because I got the Twin Peaks, and I immediately just started ordering drinks for almost everybody around. I'm like, everybody just get drunk, because
you don't like, know how bad day. I knew we were gonna lose. I actually went on a date. I was like, we ain't winning this game.
They was on the lead head that game.
I was like, oh, Miami's losing? Shucks.
Really?
Okay. Then we could pick the field goal to actually put the point. I'd rather lose 38-0, man. Don't do this.
No, you don't. Because
when they keep winning, you get that field goal, dog. I walked out to it.
Because let me tell you something. You don't want to be at an Aflac trivia question. Last time a team was shut out in the AFC Championship game.
I don't remember that game.
I'll
be like, man, that was a shutout, man.
I remember when the boys drummed us up in Miami, man.
The one that got all going to fire.
Hey, listen, that game got so out of hand, I was taking shots every time they scored. I was like, fuck it, I ain't never going to get a drink waiting on us to get some points.
They ran like six different plays that whole game. Like,
no, you want to know what's crazy about that game? Dabo gave them boys oh, I'm joking about the oranges, but they didn't even go back in the locker room at halftime. They just sat down on the field, dog. That's the most disrespectful shit I ever seen. Like, yeah, with Paul Gordon, dog. They just took the helmets off and sat down in the
inside. Nah, listen, it was so bad. It got so bad. Jeez. We were literally fighting each other in the stands. We was like, man, somebody got to get beat up for this.
Somebody got to wear his ass whooping on field.
It was literally Kane on Kane fights in the stands. And I was like, what? When I got home, I was just so mad. And then the next morning, I just instantly got happy because I was like, oh, I heard they about to fight. I don't go. And then I was like, oh, okay.
I kind of knew that was going to be the one. Yeah. As drunk as I was like, yeah, I don't think this can stand.
Man, I fell asleep on that. And then woke up in the fourth quarter. I seen that 58. And I remember that post-game conference. My homie was in town. He looked so dejected, man. Like, I don't even think he lifted his head up talking. He looked so dejected.
Remember, I think that's when we had went on like a four-game losing streak or something like that.
Right. We was bad.
So I think we lost to Florida State the previous week. We should have won.
They tapped out.
You know what I'm saying? So Al was kind of, he was done after that Florida State game.
Al just understood in that moment. I ain't no good at this shit, man.
Yeah, he knew that was it.
You know what's crazy? When they be talking about, oh, y'all act like that 8 lateral game versus Duke, y'all made shirts for that. I was like, dog, the Duke game was the following week after that Clemson game. That was Larry Scott first game as interim, dog. They were
interim coach.
Yeah, they
were. Nobody really care.
And Artie Burns' mom had just passed away, didn't she?
That game might be my favorite win. That was like that didn't mean nothing, but besides beating Florida State again, that might be the second win that was like my favorite win
because they looked like they had some heart. That's why.
People that weren't Duke and Miami fans weren't gonna watch that game. That was a Thursday night game, right? Mm-hmm. So y'all didn't watch that game unless you was a Kane or one of the 17 Duke Blue Devil football fans. That game was so horribly officiated.
It was one of the worst
officiated games I ever saw.
That wasn't no touchdown, man.
Yeah, man.
I forgot about both ways, too.
I ain't even saying they just gave it to us. No, they got some raw deals, too, so that by the end of the game, we were really pissed because, it was a pivotal bad call. And we like, yo, what the fuck? They just gave them the game.
I think about 3 straight pass interference calls or something like that.
Yeah, 3 straight pass interference. Like, what the hell?
That's how they got the touchdown.
Right, that's 45 yards.
That's how they got the touchdown that wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah, that little quarterback sneak.
Because we like, man, they robbed us, man. Them PIs was bullshit. Maybe one out of the 3 was legit. The other 2 was total bullshit. Then they give him a touchdown that he didn't get in on. And it's like, damn, man, not a game over. And we just lost a game we really shouldn't have lost. You know, even beyond it being Duke, it was just officiated so horribly. But, yeah, we was happy that we got the football guys, gave us a chance to get back in that game. And, yeah, he was down. And, well, the fuck you want me to do about it? Again, I told you I can't give you no W's back. I can't give you no L's back. Just write it down. So
did y'all see it live? The
yeah, I watched it live. I was drunk watching
it. This is Thursday night. What else I was going to be doing?
No, I was so mad. When they do score that touchdown, because I had a homie in town that weekend too, matter of fact, and I turned the channel to ESPN because I was mad. I'm like, man, fuck that. We're watching ESPN 10, 15 minutes later. They're like, oh, you wouldn't believe this kick return by Miami. I looked at my dog and I was like, bro, I know I didn't just miss this, bro. But I didn't see it live, though. That's how mad I was.
And I was watching that thing live and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
my biggest O was when Elder finally got the ball.
Yeah.
And what's his name came and made that big block?
The block in the back.
I was like, I jumped up. I started running like, Walton this touchdown.
Everybody's like, Walton was down. That's a block in the back. I was like, hey, if you saw that game, you would have understood. That's what them refs was doing all game.
Corn went riding on that side.
They was terrible. They was terrible.
We deserved that W, man.
Hell yeah. We needed that as a fan base, man. Like,
y'all
we
remember
that one now.
Y'all remember, what's the Duke coach name? The ex-coach.
Cutcliffe.
He was living. He was mad.
When they say game over, touchdown, the face he made that was priceless.
He looked like that.
What did you just say?
Bobby.
He He looked like that Pakistani cricket meme where the dude just be like,
when they say game over, Ernie wins, I was looking like, yeah, I don't know how to fuck, but hey, it is what it is. Hey,
I take nothing back. Well, I think that wraps it up, man. We appreciate y'all kicking it with us. Another episode of 26 Degrees. We'll be back next week, man. We're going to just keep giving y'all everything we can. More content coming. Hopefully a couple of other good things coming down the pipeline that I'll hopefully be able to announce soon. Stay patient with me. We're going to see what's what, man. Until then, peace.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.